Welcome to another message from Calvary Chapel Community Church, Cape Town.
This morning, we are continuing on in our series that we're doing. I've called them New Life Launch Notes. As next week, we're launching into New Life City Church. And what are those core values that we are going to hold to, that we are going to initiate as a church, those biblical values that God has for us? And what is our structure going to be? What are we going to emphasize? And here is one that is so important, I can't possibly just talk on it on one Sunday morning. It's something I'm probably going to have to go back to and go into the book of Acts and other scriptures, Philippians and Colossians. But our desire is to spread the fame of the Lord Jesus Christ in every place, to see Jesus' name being exalted. And so this scripture here is one I want to ask you to read with me together. Philippians 2 verse 5 through 11 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, on those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Lord, this is our prayer this morning. It's our desire, Lord, that this earth would be filled with people, men and women and boys and girls, who would confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We know this brings you glory because it says here in this word. And Father, we want to pray that this morning your Spirit would speak to our hearts, that you would stir us up, Lord, because this is something you've called us to as the church, to be your ambassadors, Lord, to acknowledge Jesus Christ, not to be silent, and to live out, Lord, when we consider your Lordship, that you are above all, and that we can look up to you as our Lord and our Savior. We pray, Lord, just minister this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The word highly exalted, it says, "Therefore God has highly exalted the Lord Jesus," is something remarkable. Verse 9, it says, "Therefore, God also has highly exalted his Son, the Lord Jesus." The word there, it's one word in Greek. It's a word that means like hyper, super. And what it means actually is that the Lord hasn't just exalted. Now, in our English Bibles, they say highly exalted, but it's just one word. And it means like super exalted. It means that the Father took his Son. He didn't just exalt him. He highly exalted him. He super exalted him. It means to be lifted up to the high place, to elevate up higher than any other, to bring Jesus into the very, very highest place that heaven has to offer. Jesus could say, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." That's what God did with his Son, the Lord Jesus. He exalted him. This word here is not used anywhere else in the Bible. It's only used in this very verse here to speak of Jesus, his own exaltation. Can you see how big this is? This is all about Jesus this morning. And the question that I want to put to you this morning, that we want to consider, is if God has so highly exalted his Son, the Lord Jesus, and that God has emphasized this in Scripture, the lifting up of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And if the Father is continuing to exalt his Son, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we be giving ourselves to this? And this is what we should. And I really want to encourage every one of you, take notes, because I want to share with you four ways that you can personally exalt Jesus in your life, and four ways that we can exalt Jesus as a church together. Let's look more closely at this verse here, this text. The first thing I want you to notice is that verses 5 to 8 are describing what we call the incarnation. The fact that God was manifested in the flesh, that God became a human. Jesus, the Son of God, second person of the Trinity, came to earth as a man. It says in John 1, the Word became flesh, speaking of Jesus. The scripture in 1 Timothy 3, it says that God was manifested in the flesh, that he became a man. And it goes further than that, because it says, yes, he was like us in every way, yet without sin. But then, when we read in the scripture further, and you look at this descent of the Lord Jesus as he walks down the stairs into humanity, and verse 7, it says he made himself of no reputation. People didn't look at him and go, wow, who's that? He took the form of a bondservant, came in the likeness of men, and notice this verse 8, it says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. The most degrading event for Jesus was the cross, because although he was without sin, he bore our sin in his own body. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Notice Peter doesn't say on the cross, he says on the tree. He's emphasizing for us the curse of anyone who hung on a tree. That's in the Old Testament. Anyone who hung on a tree was accursed. He says that Jesus bore our sins. He carried our sins. And the fact that the holy, pure Son of God, the one who knew no sin, became sin for you and me. That's something remarkable. I don't think in our minds that we can ever really compute. All we can do is understand the fact that when it came to that night before the cross, that Jesus was in a garden all night awake, crying and pleading with God and saying, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He had to carry our sins. Men and women, you're all dressed very beautifully today. Can you imagine if you were walking and we had to leave church and you were going through the gardens and you see some beggar that's just been living outside for like 3 weeks, hasn't taken a bath, you can smell him around, you know, half a kilometer away. And he comes to you and he says, I need something. Do you have any clothes? And imagine this, if you were going to say, okay, what do you want? And he says, I want your clothes. And you are going to say, okay, well, I'll give you my clothes, but we've got to trade. You give me your clothes. I'll put your clothes on and you take my clothes. And you have this exchange. And how would you feel if you were just like walking in this filthy, and I mean just the stench and the smell? And that's what Jesus did for us. He carried our sins on himself. Most degrading thing that could possibly happen. He became your sacrifice and my sacrifice. And it says he humbled himself. And so much, and if you just think of this, think of Jesus hanging on the cross and he asked the Father, why have you forsaken me? You know that song that we go, the Father turned his face away because his Son was there carrying our sins, accursed for us. And verse 9 says, therefore, for this reason, because my Son didn't think it robbery to be equal with God, because my Son made himself of no reputation, because my Son came to earth to be a servant, because my Son became a man, because my Son humbled himself, because my Son was obedient to death, because my Son was nailed to a cross, therefore I'm highly exalting him. I'm lifting him up. I'm elevating him. I'm lifting him up. And he says, I'm giving him a name which is above every name, that at his name, the name Jesus, that every knee should bow, verse 10, of people everywhere, people in heaven, people on earth, and people under the earth in their graves, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, if you can imagine, just imagine this tall skyscraper, and just picture the top of the skyscraper is heaven. The bottom is earth, the basement. And it's like Jesus goes down the fire escape and he walks down the stairs and down the stairs and down the stairs. And Jesus is just descending and descending and descending and descending until right at the bottom where it speaks of the cross. That's Jesus going down the cross. And that's what, if you were looking at verses 5 to 8, Jesus walking down the fire escape, down the basement to the basement. And then verse 9 to 11 is the lift. God puts him in the lift and he presses top floor, right up to the top floor. And this is what the Lord is doing with his son, the Lord Jesus. It says highly exalted, super exalted, so that every person would acknowledge him. Every person would bend their knee and every tongue would acknowledge and speak of him. And I like it, verse 11, it says that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you believe that this morning, if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, won't you say with me, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. And that is that's our profession, that's our salvation. The Bible says that if we believe in the Lord, that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we'll, and believe in our heart, that we'll be saved. The Bible says that no one can say that Jesus Christ is Lord apart from the Spirit. It's the Spirit in us that testifies that Jesus Christ is Lord, that exalts Him. And our goal, as we are moving forward as a new church, here's one thing, and we are absolutely going to nail to the mast, is the Lordship of Jesus. And we are going to do our utmost to highly exalt the Lord Jesus, however long we have on earth, to exalt Jesus. I like that verse in Matthew 4, verse 24, as Jesus began his ministry and people from everywhere were just coming around him and he was ministering. And it says his fame spread throughout all Syria. Syria wasn't even in Israel. He was famous even in places he wasn't. And that's what I desire to see, the Lord Jesus just being famous everywhere. But our goal is to spread his fame. You know, in old days, and we've been using that analogy of the sailboat, and you know, in the old days, it was very common with Egyptian boats and ships and Roman boats and ships and Greek and even Viking, is that they would put their guard on their ship. It's called the figurehead. It was on the prow of the ship, the front part. And, you know, a lot of people have this concept that sailors were very irreligious, that they weren't very spiritual people. No, actually they were. You know, when you're out at sea, you can get very spiritual. There's a scripture that speaks of this practice in Acts 28. Paul is writing of that trip they were doing to Rome. And he says, we sailed on an Alexandrian ship. Alexandria was in Egypt, whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. So Paul is referring to that front part. And you say, as we were boarding that ship, its figurehead was the twin brothers. That was two Roman deities, two Roman gods called Castor and Pollux. They were two Roman brothers. And they were supposed to give special protection to the ship and to the sailors. But I like the way that these pagan mariners would put their gods before them. And they would sail out with their gods and say, okay, you go before us. And that's what I really feel as a church. We need to say, Jesus, you go before us. We're behind you. You go ahead of us. You're our head, Lord. You're our figurehead. You go before us. We acknowledge you as Lord. You lead the way. We'll follow. And church, you know already it's taken us faith to step forward, to go, to leave our Calvary Chapel family, to go forward into this new season. But this is where we sense God is saying, go. And so we go behind you. Lord, if that's the path, that's the course, we're going to go behind you. We're going to follow you. And so we're going to go forward in the name of our God. Philippians 2, verse 9 is a challenge. If God has highly exalted his son, the Lord Jesus, then we are too. We must follow suit. Four ways individually that we can do this. The first, and you can take note, is in our minds. With my mind, the mind is such a huge and a big area of our lives. Our thoughts. That is something that we need to, right at the very foremost, is we need to make sure that we are acknowledging, that we are highly exalting Jesus in our mind. I think we all know in a room like this that we can have very dark thoughts, right? We can think, we can fill our minds even through media and stuff like that with very dark things. But the Bible says we're to walk in the light. And 1 Corinthians 2:16 speaks of the believer. And it says, who has understood the mind of the Lord to instruct him? And he says, but we have the mind of Christ. And even in this Philippians passage, did you notice verse 5? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. One way that you can personally exalt Jesus in your life is to think the thoughts that Jesus thinks. And it says we have the mind of Christ. Well, in what sense do we have the mind of Christ? Well, in the sense that we have the Bible, that we've got the Word of God, that we know God's thinking on any matter. And not only that, we have His Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit that can fill our minds. Have you ever prayed a prayer like, Lord Jesus, just help me to think the way you think? You know, it's very interesting when we have a situation before us. And you and I can look at this situation one way and we can analyze it in this way. And Jesus can look at it in a way and completely analyze the whole issue just completely different. He says His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, His ways are higher than ours. And so ask the Lord with everything in your life, am I seeing this from the perspective of Jesus or just me? And so it says we have the mind of Christ. And so you can exalt Jesus by thinking the way He thinks, by reasoning the way He reasons. He says, let this mind be in you. And He's talking of, just if you look at the context there in chapter 2, He says, verse 3, don't let anything be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than yourself. Now, do we normally think that way? I mean, is that your natural default? You think of other people as better than yourself? No, okay? We think of ourselves as better than other people. And the Lord says, no, flip that around. Have the mind of Christ. See from Jesus' perspective. And so that's the first thing. I can exalt Jesus in my mind. The second thing is I can exalt Jesus with my mouth. You just said Jesus Christ is Lord. Wasn't that something Christ exalting that came out of your mouth? I mean, haven't you been in Pick and Pay and you hear someone, oh my, you know? They're not exalting Christ. You exalted Christ this morning with your mouth. Psalm 96, verse 10, it says, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. And so we can exalt Jesus just verbally with our mouths. We can give praise to Him. I'm not just talking about singing. I'm talking about just in your conversation, putting Jesus up, Jesus, exalting Him. Pray this week that God would give you some opportunities to exalt Jesus in your conversation. Ask Him to do that. Thirdly, I can exalt Jesus in my morals. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20 simply says that you and I as believers are ambassadors of Christ. What's an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who is living in one nation, not his own, but he's representing the nation from which he comes. He's representing his government, his president. And so the Bible says that we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God, that we are representing Jesus Christ in the world. Now, an ambassador, that's a high calling. An ambassador isn't just someone who is there to talk and to give speeches, but he's somewhere there in his conduct to reflect His position. And so this is what we are to do. Morally, if God looks at you and He says, you're an ambassador, you're to reflect that in the way you live. Our lifestyle is to reflect and to exalt the Lord Jesus, reflect His glory. And then fourthly, our motives. What motivates you in life? What is it that causes you to wake up when you get up in the morning and you're going to go about your business and you're going, what motivates you? Now, there are a lot of motivational factors in the world. I think some people are motivated very much by money. Other people are very motivated by approval of others. Others are motivated by sports. I want to be able to excel. I want to meet that goal that I've set. And there's a lot of things that motivate people. I was talking to my little nephew yesterday, and I said to him, he plays soccer. He's a very avid soccer player. And I said, how are you doing? And he said, oh man, I'm so tired. And I said, why are you tired? He said, I played 2 soccer matches for A and the B team. And I said, how'd it go? He said, oh, it went well. I scored 2 goals. And you see, that's motivating him to run up and down on that field. I can get that goal. That motivates. And for us as the people of God, as we are launching out in this new church, what's going to motivate you to go forward? It's to exalt Christ, to lift up the Lord Jesus in your motives. I like what Philippians 1 and verse 21 says. It says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I wonder how many of us have that absolute philosophy of life with Paul. Like we could say, Paul, that's your philosophy, that's my philosophy. My philosophy is life is all about Jesus, and if I die, it's my gain, it's my reward. Isn't that a nice perspective for life? Hey, It's Jesus in life, it's Jesus in death. That's what I want to. That's my motive. And so there you have it. Your mind, your mouth, your morals, your motive, all of them exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. So can you see it's much more than just I sing a song on a Sunday morning, right? It puts your whole life into exalting Jesus and lifting up the Lord Jesus. If we to look ourselves and now, okay, that's individually, collectively, us as a church, how can we exalt Jesus? Not just exalt him, how can we highly exalt the Lord Jesus? Are you ready? Here are four ways. The first is in our mission. We can highly exalt Jesus. And so the first thing that I want to show you is our new logo, praying, and I was asking God because, you know, it's nice to have a logo, something that is not just a nice picture, but it actually says something. And I was praying, and the Lord brought that Revelation 1 scripture to mind. I sketched something out on a piece of paper, and it was that picture in Revelation 1 where John sees, he hears a voice behind him. He's on the island of Patmos, and he turns around to see the voice. And there he sees one like the Son of Man standing in the midst of these seven lampstands. And the seven lampstands are representing seven churches that are in Asia. And Jesus Christ is standing right in the middle. And I thought, God, that's it. And in my mind, I had a picture of Jesus symbolized by a cross and then these seven churches around with a cross in the center. I said, that's how it's supposed to be. And I gave it to an artist, Sun Marie, and she came up with this concept, looked a little bit better than my sketch, well, quite a lot better than my sketch, but you'll see those little strokes around the cross. There's seven of them, each one symbolizing a church. Those churches weren't perfect. Guys, be easy on yourself. You know, as much as we can strive to be perfect, we often fall short. You know, some of those churches, the Lord said strong words to them. He told some, I'll remove your lampstand unless you repent. There was another church that had people practicing harlotry in that church. I don't know if it was spiritually or real life. Jesus said, I'll put a sick bed of suffering upon you. And Jesus spoke to another church and he said, you know, you guys make me sick. I want to vomit you out of my mouth. I mean, this is Jesus standing in the midst of these churches. I mean, if that's not a picture of grace, I don't know what is. And that should encourage all of us. You know, we are saved by grace. It's not one of us that can say I'm a perfect picture. And I can't say we are a perfect church, but I can say Jesus is in our midst. I know that. See, if Jesus stuck with those seven churches, he's sticking with us. And so our mission, the other part, Luke 1:17, I shared it with you a few weeks ago. If we're going to put it in a sentence, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's what the Lord called John the Baptist to prepare the way for the first coming of Jesus. We're preparing the way for the second coming. To get people ready for Jesus. Preparing them for Jesus. That's our mission. Secondly, we can highly exalt Jesus Christ in our meetings. How would you, if we were going to have someone very, very, very famous, well-known, a dignitary, coming into our midst? How would we respond to that? Firstly, we'd take note of them. We would welcome them personally. We'd be shaking hands with them. We'd be rolling out the red carpet practically. That's what people do when you've got someone famous coming to town. Think of Jesus, the one that God has highly, highly exalted. And he's right here this morning. Jesus' words in Matthew 18, verse 20, he said, where there are two or three gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. How do we highly exalt Jesus in our meetings? We acknowledge him. Church, do you know Jesus is here this morning? That Jesus' spirit is among us. He's in us. He's with us. We can gear our meetings around the Lord Jesus. And so when we are planning a service and we can think of the worship and we can think of the message, does this message exalt Christ? Does the worship exalt Christ? The testimonies, do they exalt Christ? The way that we welcome people, that we receive people into the church, does that glorify? Is that highly exalting Christ? And so this is how in our meetings we can highly exalt the Lord Jesus. Therefore, he has highly exalted him. So we can highly exalt the Lord Jesus. That's our goal. And third way as a church is obviously right here at the pulpit. We can exalt Jesus in our messages. the way, what we preach. Church, God has been speaking to me so much about this as we're going into a new church, is that I want to be Christ-centered. Christ-centered. When I speak to you, I just want to speak to you about Jesus. I'm just going to speak to you about Jesus. It's going to be about Jesus. When we go into new, it's just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You want people to hear about Jesus? Well, you come here. Jesus, we're just going to be talking about Christ, the Son of God. And there's so many ways that we can preach about this. We can consider the names of Jesus. We can consider the ministry of Jesus. We can consider the humanity of Jesus. We can consider Jesus as the risen Son of God, risen up from the grave. We could think of Jesus as the one who's returning again. We could consider the Old Testament prophecies that portray and speak of the Lord Jesus, the Son, government will be upon his shoulder, Prince of Peace, one who, like all those. And we can exalt, we can lift him up in our preaching. Isn't it amazing? We can highly exalt him. Church, you know, I was so grieved a long time ago when I was sitting in a church and the message opened and the message closed. And the only time in that whole sermon that Jesus was mentioned was when the pastor closed in prayer and he said, in Jesus' name, amen. That was it. You know, church, pastors can waffle a lot. God has to keep us from that. God has to keep us on track because, you know, we can talk about all the things in the universe. God has given us Jesus. God's given us sermon topic. It's Jesus. And we are going to highly exalt him. And church, just prepare this as we are making this transition. This is going to become the Jesus pulpit, the Jesus church. It's just going to be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I'm excited. That excites me. I'll share with you why in a minute. But last area, as a church, and by the way, that the scripture, if you want to jot down on preaching Jesus, 1 Corinthians 1:22, where it says, the Jews are crying out for miracles, and the Greeks, they're searching for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. And so that's our message, Christ. The fourth area, music, worship. Psalm 150, verse 3, and it talks about, you can turn there, and it says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And then it says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. You know, it was the German composer Johann Sebastian Bach that said these words. He said, music's only purpose should be the glory of God and the recreation of the human spirit. He nailed it right there. He was a Christian man who was not into, he did not think music was something for making money with. A lot of people do music today because they think it's a way to make money or to express his creativity. He said, music is here to bring glory to God. And in fact, his pieces and his classical works that are played by millions around the world, he would sign them off, not JSB, Johann Sebastian Bach. He would sign them off, SDG, Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. And you see, here was a man who understood music and worship is for bring glory to Jesus. And again, for us church, it's for us to look and to find where are those songs that just bring, that highly exalt Jesus, that glorify. We were singing one this morning, crown him with many crowns, exalting the name of the Lord Jesus. And so this is what you can look forward to as a new church, as we become New Life in Christ, City Church and New Life in Christ, South Africa is a movement, is that we're giving attention to our mission, it's Christ, our messages, Christ, our meetings, Christ, our music, Christ, until he comes. Is that something that you get excited about? It's something that excites. It's something that stirs my heart so much when we can say SDG, Solo Dia Gloria. To God belongs the glory. To God belongs the offer. What can we expect when we as a church say, Jesus, God has highly exalted you, and we want to commit ourselves to highly exalting you, to super exalting the name of Jesus. What can we expect? One scripture is John 12:32. Jesus' words, where he said, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Lifting up the Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus here was talking in context about his death on the cross. He was signifying what kind of death he was going to die, because on the cross, Jesus was lifted up. But I believe there's another meaning in this too. It says, if you, church, will lift me up, you're going to see people getting saved. You're going to see souls getting added to my kingdom. If you lift up the Lord Jesus, you're going to see how powerful your witness is going to become. God's going to use you. You're going to be one of those, and you're going to go, what is this? It just feels like this magnetic thing, like it's just like these opportunities. It just seems like I'm just testifying every day all the time. It's because you're lifting up Jesus. I like what A.W. Tozer said. He said, whenever Jesus Christ is glorified, the Holy Spirit comes. Whenever Jesus Christ is glorified, the Holy Spirit comes. Disciples on the day of Pentecost, as they were there, and it was 9 o'clock on that Sunday morning, and they were all like just praying, and the Holy Spirit descended and came down. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and people came around in this big crowd, and they're going, what is this? What's going on? It says, Peter stood up. You know what Peter did on that Sunday morning? Exalted Jesus. No, I'm wrong. He highly exalted Jesus. He glorified Jesus. And when Jesus Christ is glorified, the Holy Spirit comes. And the Holy Spirit moved on that Pentecost morning. Didn't just stop with a whole bunch of believers together getting all excited and stoked on Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit was poured out outside of the walls of the church. 3,000 were saved on that day. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men to myself. That's a word. That's what we can look forward to. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to visit us at calvarychapel.co.za for more in-depth Bible teachings and information about our church and outreach ministries.